evangelist.
And what do you do?
I evangelize.
So do I. I like great, this is going to be interesting. An evangelist interviewing an evangelist.
I like to always say that we evangelize the words of Bill.
Yeah. Well, you've been in the, I just saw up on your wall, you have a Visual Basic Programmer's Journal. I used to work there.
Yeah.
That was, what, 10 years ago or so?
Absolutely. VB1. I was actually built, I won second place in that contest for building a VB1.0 application for smallest footprint. And if you remember in VB1 days, you could actually take all of your code and concatenate it in one single line. So I took, I did all the API functions for Windows, about keyboards and mouse and everything, and I took about 100 lines of API code and combined it into one line.
Excellent.
And then compiled it, and it compiled down, I think, to like 9K. And it won for second place because the guy that beat me built some calculator app that was 7.3K. So I missed it just by a couple K.
Hey. Wow. Yeah, those were the good old days. Back in the early 90s.
Absolutely.
Visual Basic.
And we've definitely come a long way. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can now do kind of multi-threading in VB, and generics are coming.
Which I think is kind of I think that's a great...
We have line continuation characters that you didn't have back then.
That's a great segue because, you know, as we talked earlier, you know, Charles was actually going to be here kind of grilling me.
Yeah, Charles, sorry. Yep.
We were going to talk about smart clients.
Yep.
And I think kind of coming from this VB 10 years ago until today, we've just built such a great story with so many different developer tools like VB to be able to build, you know, these things that we call smart clients.
Yeah. One thing, can we turn off your light there? We can't see your face. If there's gonna be that
That's
light.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah, much better. Old video trick. I never have lights on behind the subject. So, are you the smart client evangelist now, or what, why do you care about smart clients?
Well, you know, for about the past 2.5 years, I've been focused on figuring out what the overall smart client message is for Microsoft with numerous evangelists and numerous other, you know, product group managers from all the different product groups, like what we consider make up our smart client technology landscape, right? And when we think about that, we're really thinking about three different areas. So one is Windows Forms, you know, just like I was talking about Visual Basic. Being able to build applications using Windows Forms, and even thinking about not just simply Windows Forms in Visual Studio, but also thinking about developing mobility type applications, whether it be for a device or whether it be for something on the compact on the tablet PCs using the .NET framework. So, you know, we kind of talk about these things called mobility, and I think everybody always gloms onto, oh, is it running on a phone or is it running on a pocket PC?
Yeah.
And we kind of think about it a little bit more broadly than that, right? It's being able to take your tablets or your smartphones or your pocket PCs and going out into the world and actually doing something, something meaningful.
It shows that the web is getting a little richer. It still has a lot of limitations, though,
yeah.
You know, particularly for input UI, right?
I mean, we think about things like when we talk about this whole connecting line to business applications. Everybody's already written a Windows app that talks to some SQL Server database and some quote-unquote end-tier architecture, whether it's using ADO or web services.
Yeah.
You know, really, when we think about smart clients, really the best example that we have is Microsoft is Office. And this is a thing that we've really been working on over the last 2 years is getting everybody to understand that Office is a great set of productivity applications, right? Create really rich documents, I can create lots of different things I can analyze in Excel, but people have always taken those things and just used them as singular things.
Right.
And we want to be able to take people and say, here's how you use Excel to connect to a line of business application. But not only are you connected and you have all this real rich real-time data, but now if you decide to close your laptop, go home and work, or go into the beach and work, or go somewhere else and work with a client, you've taken that data with you. You can work with it. Once you get back into your network environment, everything's handled for you.
Yes.
We'll synchronize the data for you. We'll make sure everything's up to date. And we'll even make sure that if something else has to be kicked off, we'll go ahead and kick another process off, you know, some workflow process that's happening in the back end. Yeah. It's really being able, smart clients aren't necessarily a technology, it's a concept.
And if you base your business on the web, you know, when the internet goes away between you and the server,
you're no longer productive, you're no longer efficient, and
we see that on the internet, you know, once in a while. You know, having real Windows apps that can be loaded on your own local machine.
Right.
Yeah, you can be at Starbucks, and if the internet goes down, you still can
work. You're still working. You know? Right. That's the whole concept behind it. And I think in some ways, you know, like I mentioned earlier about these articles, we've all done ourselves a disjustice by making it seem like it's a web or rich.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a they complement each other to some respect. And smart clients, rich clients, whatever you want to call them, it's really about what type of apps do you need to build that solves your business problem.
Yeah.
And in most cases, if you were to say to somebody, all right, well, here's two routes you can go. Now, the first route is you can build a web-based application that's really cool, lots of great user interface elements. You know, it's a little bit more difficult to develop. But your caveat is you have to be 100% connected. Or I can give you what we would call a smart client application, whether it's Office or Windows Forms application or some type of mobility application. I'll give it to you, great user experience, don't have to be connected, you can go offline, and then when you go back online, things are resolved for you. Now, if you make that basic case to anybody in a business, they're going to tell you, I want the one where I'm going to be the most efficient.
Yep.
And that is smart clients, rich clients. It's moving now, back into the client world.
Now, Billy Hollis and I think a couple of the other regional directors were telling me about, because they're customers of ours, they're not employees here, and they're doing consulting at major companies, and they said that at the companies that they switched from web to smart client input forms, their text entry people have gotten 15% more productive. You know, something like that. Do you guys have any white papers that actually show how much more productive somebody? Hertz went with a Windows app.
You know,
there's no web. You go to the Hertz counter. There's no web. You know, browser
right.
there. It's a
Windows
a Windows app. Whether it's a smart client or a standard old N tier app that was written 20 years ago.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. But you can tell the input person there has a much richer experience than is possible on a web form.
Right.
On a web browser interface, HTML, HTML interface. Do you guys have any proof or?
I think the best example that we have is Dell. I think, everybody knows about the Dell case study.
No, I don't.
Hey!
What's that?
Well, I mean, we have, it's off of Microsoft.com, and basically, these guys took their web-based application for their call centers and implemented it as a Windows application, a smart client, if you will, and were able to, make everybody more efficient. The return on investment that they received is astronomical. They've made basically all of their call center employees more efficient because they have everything at their fingertips. There's no more round tripping. Every single time I click a button, I got to go get something else. So while they're working with a client on the phone, they're more responsive, their clients are better satisfied, and they're seeing such a huge return on investment because of that move from the web call center world into using Windows Forms and a Windows application for all their call center employees. It's the greatest example. But kind of to your point on the whole input aspect, I think one of the greatest things, with Windows applications, you can attach schemas and you can do validations and you can build business logic behind controls and text boxes and all those types of things. But the greatest thing, in terms of input forms for Office is as an example.
Yeah.
If you're using things like InfoPath or Word or Excel, you can attach schemas to them. So that while you're doing input, you're validating your data against your XML schema. So we've made this whole process of gathering data so much more efficient and so much more error-free that I think people that generally move into using schemas for validation to see huge returns on data entry problems or re-entering data. Everything's electronic.
Yeah.
And they're just able to use it in business faster, better, quicker to make those decisions. So.
Yeah. Now, why doesn't everybody just go to a smart client? You know, why is the web still there? You know,
it's a huge, people have made such a huge investment in it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really deployment, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's one of they
I mean, that's why I would go
they
reach.
Call it deployment and reach, right? Yeah. So I have one centralized deployment, and then I'm reaching thousands and thousands of people. But I think, you know, we've corrected some of those problems. I mean, we created DLO Hell in Redmond, Washington, right? So that was one of our primary problems with deployment was. And now I think with the, you know, the coming of ClickOnce, you know, you can see these things deployed down from a website if you want to, or from a file share, and be able to be installed. And not only once is it installed, it's intelligent. I go and look for updates. I bring down updates and you really don't even know about it. So you're always using the latest and greatest of the application. Is that still possible with the web? Absolutely. But once again, you're connected.
Yeah.
You know, I can trickle down that smart client application on your machine. You can close your laptop, take it away, and be super productive. But in order for you to use that web application, sitting at a desk, make it have a Wi-Fi connection somewhere just so you can do work.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. It's a big difference for business.
So what do developers need to learn to get into the smart client world? You know, I mean, like a DHTML or an HTML program, you know, somebody who's maybe an ASP.NET program.
It's really, really depends upon where you want to go.
But how do you get into the new smart client world? What skills do you need to have?
Yeah, I think basically if you start learning Visual Studio, plug here, Visual Studio 2005 is really where I think people should begin looking at more of the smart client that we've, you know, more of the capabilities that we can provide with smart clients, right? The ClickOnce features for deployment. We've had so many rich things with Windows Forms and smart device applications now, as well as the fact that within Visual Studio 2005, we've got all the Office stuff now. So now we're going to have Word and Excel programming inside of there. So it's one cohesive environment where that's the first investment is to make, is to learning an element of Visual Studio, VB.NET, C#, if you love doing to the, going to the metal, C++, you know, or got half, 20 or so more languages that, you know, are supported under the framework.
Yeah.
Those are the great, that's the greatest place to start. You know, and then thinking about whether you want to write Windows applications or that you want to write Office applications. There's a little, there's some differences there.
Yeah.
When you're writing a Windows application, you're writing managed code. It's all managed. You don't have to worry about com interop, nothing. When you go into the Office world, you do have some com interop issues that you need to deal with. You know, you still have the robustness of the framework, but there are some limitations in what you can do inside the Office environment. Luckily, we've enabled a lot of those great development features through Visual Studio tools for Office. So.
You got a demo?
Yes, we can actually show a demo of a kind of cool website, and then we're going to take it all and deploy it out to a smart device.
Ooh, cool. So, yeah. Let me just recalibrate my tripod here. All right. Nice picture.
Well, now that is, you should absolutely see this. This is so high tech. He's literally holding the tripod.
Tripod adds a lot of mass, so it's a little smoother than the Jiggly. But,
and as you can see, the machine is just being absolutely responsive.
For the web browser?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Friday afternoon, isn't it? Everybody's
yes,
surfing the web, you know? Find out where they're going for the weekend. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so kind of, wait a minute. Now, look, we're even going to get high tech here because I don't want to show you this one first. I want to show you the different version first. Oops.
Right. Got to comment out some code.
There. Yep. So now we'll do a refresh real quick.
Right.
Now I've kind of destroyed the coolness factor.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, so we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier about the whole web experience.
Yeah.
I mean, the site looks nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the site, really. You know, I can go ahead and sort lists and different things of that nature.
Yeah.
So if I want to, you know, I've got all this great paging capability, so I can cruise through stuff.
So this is just a DHTML
site? Right. This is just a simple ASP.NET site that we've developed. I can even go ahead and say, give me 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, hit apply. Oops. We'll say our max price is $500,000. Obviously, there's nothing. So there we go. So now, you know, using some of the filtering, that basic filtering that we have, we can get a couple of different results.
Right. Now, is the sample code for this app out in the
no, web
anywhere?
No, it's not available right now. But now, so the first thing we want to do is, I already told you, this is basically just an ASP.NET application.
Yeah.
So now what we want to do is, you know, if we're stuck in the web browser environment, let's at least make this a little bit richer.
Right.
So if we look at that file that I had opened up earlier and I had commented some code out, that specific line of code that I commented out, you can see the real important piece is the framework, right? So CLR 1.1.
Yeah.
So now, if I comment this out, my machine also has the 2.0 framework installed, right? So if I actually look, I can see that under the framework directory on this machine locally, I actually have 3 different versions running.
Okay.
So now, you know, while I'm sitting inside of this notepad file, I'm essentially saying, don't bother looking for anything running under the 1.1 framework. Now let's say, hey, 2.0 framework's here. Let's do something kind of cooler.
Okay.
So now I went ahead and changed that just one line of code.
Yep.
We'll refresh the page. And now you'll notice that same page, the difference is that I no longer have paging buttons, but I do have a really nice grid control. That I have all my data, I can go ahead and begin working and sorting and filtering. I still have all those same capabilities. And because I selected that first property, and now I've got a static map of it, I've got some images down here of it. So we still have some nice capabilities. But
and you got this just because you went to ASP.NET 2.0?
Yep. And now, you know, it's still a great experience, but once again, we're still connected.
Yeah.
Right, so now we want to make sure that, you know, let's kind of take this to the next level. So let's deploy a smart client application. So on here we have this thing called the premium experience. So if we go ahead and download the premium experience, the first thing you'll notice that'll come up is we're actually launching the application. So now what we're seeing, you know, we kind of talked about this real quick, was this whole idea of click once. So now I'm using my web application, and all of a sudden I say, hey, premium experience, download this. I hit download. Now what I'm doing is I'm installing the app. I've done nothing. Right now, we're trickling everything down. We're actually installing the smart client application for the Contoso real estate. And when we're installing this, we're not just simply pulling some bits down, putting it on the hard drive in a folder. We're actually installing it, creating program menu items, as well as add remove program menus. So now if I were to go and look at my start menu, I can see that I have a smart client application that was just installed. That's the application that was just installed from doing that click once deployment.
Right.
So now I'll go ahead and start the smart client application up. It was a little quick to see, but when I first started that app up, what it really did is it went out to check to see if there was a new version available.
Yep.
So we immediately kind of take this application offline, so it's cached all my data locally. So now we'll go ahead and start up this smart client application.
You might explain that. That's the same way the new Office or the new Outlook works. It's always offline, and whenever it finds a wireless, it connects.
Right.
Or whenever it finds a connection, it connects and checks.
Absolutely.
And downloads right. all your email. But if you're on a plane, it looks the same as if you were connected to the internet.
Right. I think that's probably, you know, that's a great point that you bring up, is Outlook is probably one of the greatest examples of what we would consider a smart client.
Yeah.
Is you don't know when you're connected. You don't know when you're getting or sending mail. It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
And that's one of the basic principles behind a smart client is I'm always productive, no matter what I'm doing. If I'm on a plane, I'm in a cafe, or I'm in my business.
Yep. No, I fly a lot, so I really appreciate what the Outlook team did.
So now, you know, you remember that website. So we had the grid, and we had a nice, you know, static map and image of the properties. I still have all those great capabilities, but now, as I select properties, it's a little hard to notice, but now over here on the map, you can see this square.
Yeah.
That is actually that particular property that I'm looking at. And this isn't a static image. This is actually MapPoint. I'm using some local services of MapPoint instead of using the web services from the website itself.
Right.
But I can go ahead and now I have all of the same rich features that I would in MapPoint. I can go ahead and show me all the information. I can look at the properties for that particular thing. I have all of those basic capabilities.
That's a good point. With web apps, do web apps have, let's say you had a GPS on this machine, can web apps talk to the GPS? I think they could.
They could. You're going to have the client-side APIs, and you're going to have to, even in a web app, if you were going to do that, you're going to have to deploy something locally to be able for your web app to interact with some type of local software, right?
So here, if you had a GPS, it would...
It just picks it up. Just kind of knows, hey, this is how I want to begin working. So you also noticed that we had some filtering capabilities. Yeah. So what we did is, instead of clogging the UI up, we've made this nice little pull-down bar. So now you can pull down, you have all the same ways of filtering. I can go 4 bedrooms, 1 bath. Cool thing is that when I begin dragging this, you'll see that my money is changing, my monthly maximum payments. And you'll also notice that in the grid, I'm also highlighting different things that would be of interest to me. Yeah. So that particular property is something that I highlighted to say, oh, this is something that meets your criteria.
That's cool stuff. Now, how long did it take to develop each of these,
Just a couple months. But hold on, I'm not done yet, man.
You're not
done.
Come
on. So another cool thing is we're talking about the whole office. How do we involve office as being a smart client? So this application really, if you think about it, and you kind of put it into a scenario, is if I'm a real estate agent and I have a tablet PC, and I'm out in the field, and I have all this great information, I'm offline. But all of a sudden, I'm sitting there with my client, and they say, hey, I love this house, I want to make an offer on it. So what we've done is, we've not only made the great experience of looking at data, analyzing the information, we want to be able to make an offer very quickly and easily. So what we did is we built this idea of what we call make an offer. So this is where, when we choose this, you'll see we're actually bringing up Word. So we've used some other features with inside of Visual Studio 2005, specifically Visual Studio Tools for Office, where we've now taken that same information from the application you just saw, and now we're going to expose it inside of Word. Looks just like a regular document. And then as we bring up the task pane, you'll notice that we have this really rich task pane of information. So I can see the same houses that I would. I have all of this, all the MLS data that I would want to have. If I pick a particular ID, you'll notice that not only does the task pane change, but all my information in my documents changed as well. So now I have all this great stuff. I can go ahead and look at all kinds of different properties and have descriptions, the addresses, everything automatically update in that document directly for me. So now we can look at buyers. So we have all this capability. We can see, you know, there's our very own Soma that wants to buy a house. So we have this great, rich way of taking and exposing an application inside of Word, where you can write against the task pane and create your own task pane type applications that control Word and Excel. So as you go through, you know, anything that you do inside this task pane, you can reflect back into the document directly. And I think one of the coolest features is, you know, just this little teeny submit offer button. It might not like seem like much, but in essence, what we've done there is, because with Visual Studio 2005, we put Word and Excel in there as a design surface, I can go ahead and drag controls on it, just like I would a Windows Forms app. Right? So that button is really a Windows Forms control. I'm not bound by what Word offers me. Now I have the framework at my control. So when I say submit offer, I can print it, fax it, email it. I can do whatever I want. So you got a lot more capabilities. And probably the final example is taking that same application, and we all know that there's tons and tons of people that love to be mobile with their phones and pocket PCs. Yeah. So what we want to do is take that same app, and then we're going to go ahead and deploy it to a smart device. So right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start up the emulator
for
that comes with Visual Studio 2005. So this is a smartphone emulator. So now we can see what a smartphone example would look like. I've already done the deployment down to the device itself, and you'll see there's our little icon. So if I go ahead and say, you know, start that application. So you remember we had access to buyer's information, different things of that nature. I can go ahead and pick Soma again. I can say select that individual, and then I can see all the properties that they'd be interested in potentially. So we've kind of taken and gone from this web world where you've always been connected, been able to do some work. We've enabled these real estate agents to be effective on the road. And if by chance they don't have a tablet with them, but they do have their smartphone or their pocket PC, we can also deliver information to them so that they can make some business decisions, possibly call a client. You know, it's a competitive world, and what we're doing is providing information to make those people competitive. It's kind of the soup to nuts. It started at the web, go all the way down to the device.
Yeah.
And it's a great example, and this is a demonstration that was used at VS Live in Soma's keynote that talked about smart clients at length.
Yeah. So. Well, cool stuff. Well, thanks for anything else we should know about smart clients? I think we've covered pretty much the waterfront.
Yeah, I think we have.
And now we just need to show more source code and like
everybody
over.
I think
there's a whole bunch of stuff coming this summer. You know,
Oh yeah.
So this gives a good perspective though on what is a smart client, how it compares to the web, and
I don't think there's enough examples of, you know, there's these one-offs, right?
Yeah.
It's I've got one application that shows a Windows Forms or an Office piece. And I think this Contosa real estate example provides. Here's what it looks like in a web, here's what it looks like in a smart client, here's what it looks like on devices. It's kind of a soup to nuts to say that this is all possible.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take a ton and ton of effort to do.
Well, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, it was great.
Cool. See you.